How many of you guys remember Tower Records?
Yep.
Oh, wow, a lot of hands, yeah. My connection with Tower Records was when I went down to the L.A. area, I lived in a lot of different parts of California, but I went to the L.A. area. They had the huge Tower Records on Sunset Strip. That's what I think of when I think of Tower Records. But before that one, which is what a lot of people, especially in Southern California, know, before that one, they had the big one in San Francisco. But before that, I'm sure you guys know where Tower Records started, right?
Yep.
Tower Records started right in Sacramento.
Really?
The very first Tower Records was beginning to... In fact, it got its name from the Tower Theater.
Yep.
That's where Tower Records started. Yeah. And a lot, it spread all over the place. There are Tower Records all over the world, except for now.
Yeah.
You notice you don't see Tower Records anymore, right? Remember where there used to be a warehouse? Remember the warehouse?
Yeah.
Where do you buy your music? Where? At the warehouse. Remember that? There was a warehouse all over the place. They were in the malls, you know? What happened to Tower Records and the warehouse and these other kind of places like that? Anybody know what happened to them? There's a few different things, but if you were going to sum it up into one word, you could say it pretty easily. iTunes. And if those of you know, that's where you can buy, you can order your music online, and not only... First of all, you had Amazon.com where you could buy music and they would ship it right to your house, but other than that, on iTunes, you can buy your music. And it downloads directly onto your device. You don't have to go buy a CD. A lot of these companies, Tower Records was very innovative. They were one of the first ones to go from LPs to CDs. And they really invested in getting the CDs. And that was a huge thing. They saw the future. And they were really good at that up to a certain point. But they were locked into one business model. And that was the selling of physical media, either, you know, LPs or cassette tapes or CDs or whatever. They were not prepared for the industry to change into where you just got your music, you downloaded it online. None of these companies were prepared for that, and that's why you don't see them anymore. You remember, some of us are old enough to remember before we had video stores? Remember that? Remember when the video stores first started popping up? First, it was just mom-and-pop places, and then all of a sudden, there were Blockbuster everywhere. Remember? There was Blockbuster everywhere, Hollywood Video everywhere. Now, where are those? Same type of thing, right? Redbox is the closest thing they have to it. Other than that, where do most people get their movies?
Online.
Online, yeah. Netflix? You know, that type of thing? Yeah. Eventually, it will all be streaming. Now, some of us still get in the mail, but eventually, they'll all be streaming. It's very dangerous for a company not to be aware of exactly what kind of business they're in. To get in the idea that we're in the business of physical media when actually, no, we're in the business of providing music or providing movies or whatever the case may be. It's very important for us to remember what we're supposed to do, why we're supposed to do it, and how we're supposed to do it. Because if we don't get... If we don't keep those in mind, if we don't keep those in balance, then pretty soon we can end up being very, very busy doing the wrong things or trying to do the right things but doing them the wrong ways, right? Is it important that we are very focused on what God wants us to do, why He wants us to do it, and how He wants us to do it? Is that important? I think so too. So let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, if you have one of the Bibles that we provide out there, it's on page 797. If you have your own Bible, that's wonderful, but you're on your own as far as finding it. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 is where we're going to start this morning. And if you want to, you can read it on the screen behind me here. But if you like to see it right there in front of you, go ahead and open it up. And I always love to see it when people have their own Bibles and take notes in it. Not the right. Not 797, it wasn't right?
979.
Oh, I got that backwards, didn't I? Boy, that was... I did that by memory. I didn't write it down. I should have written it down. 979, okay. Actually, we used that last week, and for some reason I had 797 in my mind. I never even bothered to check it. Always check everything, right? Yes. Always check everything. All right, 979. Sorry about that. Page 979.
Where are the secretary?
All right, everybody with me? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now, we're not going to have time this morning to go through and talk about each one of these different kinds of functions: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's an interesting study, and we'll do that someday. And many of you have already studied those before. We're not going to have time to do that this morning. But the main emphasis here is that these leaders, these church leaders, Christ gave them to the church. These are gifts that Christ gave to the church. Now, that's not really a big stretch for us, right? We tend to honor our leaders. We tend to appreciate them and value them. So it's not really a big stretch to think, okay, yeah, Christ gave the leaders to the church. Right? Everybody with us? Good morning. No problem. Great to have you guys here. So that makes sense, right? Everybody with me on that? Okay. So now that we have this in our mind that Christ gave these leaders to the church, now we're going to look at why he gave these leaders to the church. I mean, if somebody gives you something and it's very functional, sometimes, in fact, from what I was hearing, Rich was saying that a lot of you guys, when you were handled puzzle, everybody get a puzzle piece?
Yes.
When you got a puzzle piece this morning, some people had the question, what is this for? That's a very logical question, isn't it? That makes sense. What is this for? A lot of times when we get a gift, it's like, well, you know, if it's not immediately apparent, it's, well, you know, what is this for? Well, he's going to explain it. Let's look at verse 12. Their responsibility, whose responsibility? Nope. Yeah, all the church leaders we just talked about. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, does anyone out there have a different translation? Just curious. I mean, it's a lot of times it's easier to have the same translation when you're following along. I'm just curious if anybody out there has a different one. No? Okay.
I've got a different one.
You have a you do?
I think I have a different one.
English Standard Version. That'll work. Because that kind of follows more the traditional reading. Could you read verse 12 out of that?
To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
Okay. We have it out of the New King James, but it's essentially the same reading. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. A lot of us are very familiar with that reading. That's what we've grown up with, right? Yeah, that's what I mean. But now, according to that, who is doing the work of ministry? The saints. Who are the saints? We all are the saints, right? Saints just means the ones that are holy because we are in Christ. It's all those who are in Christ. We're supposed to be doing the work of ministry. All of us. That's intriguing, isn't it? Let's go back to the translation that we all have here except for Chris. Let's see how it reads here. Just a different translation gives us a different perspective on it. Their responsibility, the church leaders, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Who to do whose work?
God's work.
God's work. Who is responsible for doing the work of God? What's that? God's people. Is that the way that we traditionally think about it? Is that the way we're used to thinking about it? Not us specifically, but just us as the church in general. Okay? Is that kind of the traditional understanding?
No.
It's not the way we usually think. Who usually do we think associate with the ministry?
The pastor.
The pastor does the ministry, right? In fact, a lot of times we even refer to pastors as ministers, right? And it's very common to say to a pastor, how long have you been in the ministry? Or, you know, when were you called into the ministry? That's very common. First of all, do you know what ministry means? The word just means service. So if somebody has above their office door minister, basically that just means servant. They could put servant up there. It means the same thing. But, you know, I confess this is not the way I was used to thinking about it either when I was growing up. Now, if you picture a football team, I heard a great quote this last week. A football team is where 50,000 people desperately in need of exercise are watching 22 people desperately in need of rest. But you think about a football team, right? The football team is out. If you actually get to go to a game, football team, they're out there, they're playing the game. We're cheering in the stands, right? If you associate that with ministry, and that's it, I would have thought of the people out there that I'm cheering on, those are the pros, right? Like, you know, Billy Graham or Chuck Swindoll or Charles Stanley or Beth Moore or somebody like that, you know, and we're cheering them on, right? Kay Arthur, you know, they're the pros. They're the ones that we're doing, you know, we're faithful to cheer them on. We, you know, give them moral support. Maybe we even contribute financially at times. We buy a ticket, buy the T-shirt or the hat or whatever, you know, the big foam finger or whatever, you know. But we're faithful to cheer them on. But they're the ones out there on the playing field. Is that biblical? According to what we're just reading, who is out there on the playing field? All of us. We all are. That's a different way of thinking about it, isn't it? Is it easier to be out on the playing field? It's more exciting to be out on the playing field, which appeals to some people, but is it easier to be out on the playing field or sitting in the stands? Sitting in the stands, yeah. I had this conversation with a few people. People really decide they really want to be committed to Christ, and they want to be involved. They want to be doing something, and so they get involved. And sometimes their life just goes crazy. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, why am I dealing with all of this all of a sudden? I really want to serve God. I really am dedicated. I'm focused on doing these things and, you know, whatever their gifting is. And now they say, all of a sudden, everything is going crazy. What in the world is going on? And a lot of times I tell them, well, congratulations. You're in the game now. Right? You know, when you're in the game, what happens? Especially a football game. What happens? You get knocked around a bit, right? In fact, the more you're in the thick of the action, the more you're going to get knocked around, right? It comes with the game. That's part of the way it works. You know, if Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or one of these other guys, if they went to their coach and started complaining and said, "It's just not fair, coach. Every time I go back to try to make a pass, these guys come running up and they put their hands up and they try to stop me. And then, I mean, you know, and they're actually trying to knock me down and tackle me, you know. You know, and it's just, I can't get anything done because these people get in my way." You know, what's the coach going to say? I say, "Tom, you know, we don't pay you $60 million to whine about having opponents out on the football field, right?" That's the way the game works. And we should expect, it shouldn't really surprise us when all of a sudden, when we start getting involved, all of a sudden, if we start having opposition, we start having, you know, things, we start having the enemy maybe starts throwing things in our way, trying to oppose us. It shouldn't really surprise us. So, who should be out on the playing field? All of us, the whole church, right? So, what is the role of the pastors? Yeah. They are the ones that are supposed to prepare or equip. They're the coaches. It used to be something, you don't find this in football anymore. There used to be a thing called a player coach. It was somebody that was on the team, and they played, but they also spent a lot of their time coaching the others and working with the others, so they were called a player coach. So it's not that the church leaders are not part of the team. It's not that they're not out on the field, but they devote a lot of their time to playing, or to coaching and equipping and training. It's not the church leaders are not the ones who are to be the superstars, who are the ones that are just great at doing everything in the game. The reason why some people are designated church leaders is because they are the ones that are really good at preparing and equipping and training others to be doing their work. It's a primary component aspect of the ministry of the pastor is to be a coach and a teacher, an equipper, and a trainer. That makes sense to everyone? They are to equip the people to do the work of God, to do the work of ministry, and to build, and for them to build up the body of Christ. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Now let's think about this for a minute, because it's important for us to think through this. If the pastors are doing all the work of the ministry, Are the people doing the work of ministry? Because that's the pastor's job, right? The pastors do that. If the pastors are busy doing all the work of ministry, are they going to have the time to be coaching and equipping and training? See, what we're dealing with here are two fundamentally different approaches to church ministry. And it's important that we see this. There's two different approaches, and they're mutually exclusive. We can't do either one. Let's look at these. The pastor, as the minister of the church, as much as possible, directly involved with all the ministry of the church. For many of us, that's a very traditional understanding. Not everyone. There have been churches for a long, long time that don't follow this, but that's kind of the typical understanding. It's kind of the pastor-centered approach. Or the pastor as coach and trainer, teaching and equipping the rest of the body to be actively taking on the ministry of the church. You see how they're fundamentally different. They're very, very different, and you can't do both at the same time. We see that? Does that make sense? We can look at a diagram, kind of illustrate this a little bit. If you look at this, now, we only have this one, but if we had the pastor-centered approach, say the idea is that the figure here on the left is a pastor. Now, if we had a diagram showing the pastor-centered approach, the pastor as the minister of the church, it would look very different. The pastor would be right in the center. Everybody would be in a circle around the pastor, and all the arrows would be going out from the pastor to the people. Now, we know that sometimes that one person can't do that, so what we would do maybe is hire an assistant pastor or, you know, have other staff people, but still, it would be the staff, the professionals in the center, and all the arrows going out to the people. The ministry all flows from the professionals. This approach, however, is very different. The pastor or other people in church leadership are equipping and training people who in turn are equipping and training people. See the difference? Which one is more biblical? This one. Yeah. Which one is more effective? This one. Do you see how if the pastor is in the middle and everything goes out from him, there's a limitation to what can be done, right? To how much ministry can be done. The only ministry that can be done is the amount that the pastor can do. And the only way you can increase the amount of ministry is to increase the amount of professionals that you have on staff, right? Does that make sense? What is the limitation to the amount of ministry that can be done with this type of model? There is no limitation. See the wisdom of God? Now, does this involve, for some of us, not all of us, some of us, this is just, you know, so for some of you, I'm preaching to the choir. This is, you know, this is your understanding already. But for some, this involves a different paradigm, a different understanding of ministry, right? So for some of us, this might involve some change. According to this model, who should be doing the counseling in the church? What's that? Go ahead, that's okay. The seniors, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Well, the seniors are good people. Seniors have a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience. So seniors can be some, that could be a great, those could be great people to be doing the counseling. Any other answers to that? Pastor does mostly counseling? Okay, let's look at the passage again. Verse 12 again. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Whose job is it to do the ministry? The people. Now, that includes the pastor. That doesn't exclude the pastor, but whose job is it to do the ministry? The people's. Who should be doing the work of counseling in a church?
Those that are equipped to do it.
Those who are gifted and equipped to do it. Shouldn't, not necessarily all of us, but it should be anyone who is gifted and equipped to do counseling, not just the pastor. Because if it's just the pastor, we are back to putting the pastor in the center and all the arrows are going out from him, right? What should the pastor be doing? Or the pastors or the church leaders, what should they be doing? They should be equipping and training people to be able to do the ministry of counseling. Does that make sense? See how that's a very, very different understanding, very, very different approach? See, a lot of times we kind of, we will affirm an approach without really working it through and actually living it out. Who should be doing teaching in the church? Those who are gifted and equipped. People in the church, right? The pastors and leaders, they should be teaching and training and equipping the teachers of the church, right? Making sure that there are good, solid teachers in the church. Making sure that anyone who wants to become a teacher, who is gifted to become a teacher, is trained and equipped to be a teacher. You see how this works? Who should be doing things like hospital visitation and going to those who are grieving, who are going through deep loss? Who should be doing that? All of us, those who are gifted and those who are equipped. You see how this works? It's a very, very different approach. And the two are mutually exclusive. If we are going to follow one approach, we can't fall back on the other. Does this make sense? So if we're going to have an approach where the pastor and pastors, church leaders, where a primary aspect of their ministry is to coach and equip and train, then we have to be ready as a church for people other than the pastors or key church leaders. We have to be prepared for people other than them to be doing ministry within the church. See, a lot of people would say, you know, who does the ministry in the church? They'd be right with us. Yeah, absolutely. It's all of us. We're all called to do a ministry. But then when we start getting into the types of ministry, it's like, oh no, the pastor has to do that. Oh no, 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 the pastor has to do that. Oh no, and we're right back with the pastor. But it's not the way the Bible describes it. The ministry is to be done by all of us. There is no ministry really exclusively in the realm of the pastors except for the oversight of the whole church. The pastors are supposed to be eagerly equipping and training the people to do everything that they can be that they are gifted to do. That includes teaching, that includes counseling, that includes leadership, that includes what we often call pastoral care, which is really just, it's ministry. It's just ministering to people in need. Do you understand how this works? Everybody with me on this? So we have to be very clear that if we're going to follow a biblical approach where the people do the work of ministry, then we have to get comfortable with the idea that the pastor is primarily coach and trainer and equipper, not the one who does all the ministry in the church. Doesn't mean the pastor doesn't visit people in the hospital. Doesn't mean the pastor doesn't counsel. Doesn't mean the pastor doesn't teach. But it means the pastor isn't the only one doing those things. And so it means that if we are in a counseling, if we build up what I would hope in the future, what many churches have, if we are very, very busy in equipping and coaching and training, and we end up building up a team of counselors, we have people who are gifted and equipped and trained to be counselors in the church, then if somebody needs counseling, they can't have the attitude, oh no, no, I only want to talk to Kurt about this. Because what is that doing? It's saying, I only want this one guy to minister to me. I don't want the ministry of the whole body. I want the ministry of this one guy. And what we do is we put the pastor once again in the center of every play as a superstar, where he has to be the one who does everything. And if the pastor can do that, they can run around doing everything, but they're not going to be coaching, they're not going to be equipping, they're not going to be training. And so what you end up doing is you put in by having a pastor trying to be the best superstar they can be, trying to do everything that they possibly can be, and the church is limited. The life of the church is limited, the health of the church is limited, the growth of the church is limited to what that one guy can do, or others who are hired. We're right back at putting the ministers in the center of the life of the church. Everybody with me on this? I don't want to keep hammering away at the same point, but I want to make sure we all understand. Let's read this again and keep going and see why this is important. Their responsibility, verse 12 again, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. Who builds up the church? The whole body, right? We'll see that again later on. And build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue. Now, we used this passage last week talking about discipleship, and it's very appropriate. But it's not just discipleship in a narrow sense that will continue. It's discipleship in the sense of all of us not only being taught, but all of us being equipped and trained, and all of us exercising our areas of ministry to minister to each other, minister to the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Who does that include? The whole body. Amen? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, we talked about this last week. Remember, we talked about how we don't want to remain spiritual infants. We don't want to be spiritual 12-year-olds who are still sitting in the high chair throwing our food around and smearing food in our hair. And, you know, we don't want to be... Yeah, we want to be growing. We want to be maturing, and that includes everyone in the body. But part of that growth and maturity is discovering who God has created us to be in the body, what He has created us to do in the body, how He has created us to love and to minister to the other people in the body, to be equipped and trained to do that, to be freed to do that. So where the whole body is operating as a body. And we're not dependent on one person or on a small group of people. Right? Okay. Let's see how it continues. And let me just say here also, we each as individuals, throughout a lifetime, we're growing and maturing as believers. We're growing and maturing into the image of Christ. God is molding us and shaping us to make us like Christ. And that's a lifelong process. That's true of churches too. We as a church are also being molded and shaped to be like Christ. The whole church is being molded and shaped and pruned and sharpened to be like Christ, to grow and mature into His image. And that's an important part of the process, and that's what it's describing here. That will continue. It's an ongoing thing, but that happens as we are all a part of that. It's something that the whole body is involved in. And we see that here as we continue. Verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that beautiful? You know, Jesus said, I will build my church. How does He build His church? Through His people. Isn't that amazing? How does He build His church? Through His church. Look at that again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It said earlier, up in verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. How is the church built up? Through the body. Has each part, in verse 16, as each part does its own special work. I mean, look how it ends. It's beautiful. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that the kind of church we want to be a part of? How does that happen? As each part does its work. What happens if each part doesn't do its work? What's that? What's busted?
Eight tracks busted.
Eight tracks busted. Yeah. If each part is not doing its work, then the body is not going to be healthy. The body is not going to be growing and full of love. The growth of the body will be stunted. We will not develop as a body the way we're supposed to. It's as each part does its work that this grows and develops. You guys were all given a puzzle piece, right? Take a look at that. Who knows what their puzzle piece shows? Anybody can anybody make anything out of their puzzle piece?
It's black.
It's black. Is everybody's puzzle piece black?
No.
No, so they're different, right?
Yeah,
but they don't really make a whole lot of sense by themselves, do they?
No.
I mean, that's obvious, but I want you to actually see it and look at it and show. By itself, this makes no sense whatsoever. All this tells me is it's supposed to be part of a bigger whole, right? A larger context. You got an edge. Well, that okay. I got an edge too. How about that? Yeah. They don't make any sense by themselves. And that's true of us as the body of Christ. By ourselves, we don't make any sense. Doesn't mean we can't be a witness to those outside, but at some point, they need to not only see us. God can use us to be a powerful witness to those outside, but at some point, they need to see the life of the body. God intended this life to be lived in community. And it's kind of like Paul's description. We won't go into it tonight, but we'll talk about this Tuesday night. It's kind of like Paul's description of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. We can't say, I don't need the rest of the puzzle. I'm self-sufficient. I'm okay all by myself. All I need, just one piece. That's fine. Doesn't make any sense, does it? But we also, I can't say, well, that's my piece. It's just kind of ugly. If I can't be that part, that piece of the puzzle, I don't want to be a part of the puzzle. We can't do that either, can we? Because every piece of the puzzle is needed, right? Some pieces, you know, we may think are more important than others, but everyone is crucial. Everyone is needed. The life of Christ that he's brought us into is intended to be lived in community. If we are trying to live the life of Christ and not trying to live it and not joining into community with the rest of the body of Christ, we're not truly living the fullness and the richness of the body of Christ that he's called us to, of the life of Christ that he's called us to, the faith in Christ that he's called us to. That's the life that he calls us to. He made it such that it's required for us to really learn what it means to be in Christ and for us to really grow and mature spiritually. We have to be doing that in community. We talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago. He intends for us to be living stones being put in together into the house of God. And part of that, the struggle in doing that, is what makes us mature, what makes us like Christ. And we talked a lot about that. It's also true that the ministry of Christ, the mission of Christ that he calls us to, is intended to be accomplished in community by the body of Christ. The scripture talks about this over and over and over again. It is not a ministry that is accomplished by superstars. It is not a ministry that is accomplished by only elite leaders. It is a ministry that is accomplished by the whole body, has people who are gifted to do so, teach and equip and train everyone else to be doing their ministry. It's a whole body effort, and that's absolutely necessary. In this puzzle, every piece is needed. On this team, everybody plays. You ever heard that before? You know, when you have like Pop Warner or Little League or something like that. I don't know if it's like this anymore, but it used to be, yeah, hey, on this team, everybody plays, right? That's the way it is at the body of Christ, too. Now, every now and then, we may go through a period of time where God says, hey, you know, you can take a break, go sit on the sidelines. He doesn't send us up to the stands. Doesn't say, you know, go take a shower and get out of here. No, it's like you go sit on the go sit on the sidelines for a little while and take a rest. But that just means that we need to rest up because he's going to be putting us back in the game here before too long, right? That's the way it works. On this team, everybody plays. So, if we put all of our puzzle pieces together, what does it show? It shows Jesus. And it shows the people of God with him. The body of Christ, following Christ, sharing in his mission, sharing in his ministry, sharing in his work, the body of Christ doing his work. It's only when we put the puzzle pieces together, it's only when we were all sharing in the ministry of Christ, the ministry of the body, that we and everyone else will get an accurate picture of what that looks like. We'll actually be able to see the life of the body. Because there won't just be one person or two or three professional people doing the counseling. There will be people be able to come in and say, hey, do you have any counselors in the church? Oh my goodness, yeah, we have all kinds of people who are good at counseling. Or, we have somebody in need. How do I get a hold of the pastor? It's like, well, what's the need? We have a lot of people that can help with that need. Well, we have people who need to be taught. Well, the pastor can't be every place, or even a team of leaders can't be every place, right? But it becomes exponential. If those who are gifted and equipped to be teachers and trainers, are gifting and equipping other teachers and trainers who are gifting and equipping other teachers and trainers. You see how this just becomes explosive. It's part of the reason why the New Testament church just exploded. They didn't have the luxury of depending on professionals, depending on only the paid staff. They had to all be involved, and because of that, they were all actively involved in ministry, and the life of the church exploded everywhere. Let's look at these passages one more time. Just a couple of key passages. Look at verse 12 again. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And then the last part of verse 16. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Is that a compelling picture of the church? Of the life of the church? Is it an easy picture? It's a lot easier just to have certain people do certain things and the rest of us can just kind of sit back and rely on them, right?
Yep.
It's a lot harder when we're called into the game. But it's a lot more exciting too. And it's a lot more productive. A couple of things I want to tell you about before we wrap this up. After we're done, Rich is going to be handing out a couple of things. One, he's going to be handing out a sheet like this, just like we usually do, with questions to be thinking about. This for everyone, but questions to be thinking about as we leave and during the week that can help us to continue thinking about the things that we've been talking about this morning. But also, especially for Tuesday night, this is good for you guys to have. But also, this is something else for everyone. I have a survey for you. It's a very simple survey. It asks a few questions here. It tells you a little bit about the focus that we want to have on discipling everyone, providing opportunities for everybody to be growing and maturing. And it gives you some options to check. Please look that over. Check the one, maybe two, if you're really excited about two, but especially one opportunity that best fits you. Also, what time of week is best for you to meet? I'd like to get an idea of that, where the whole body stands. And then at the bottom, it says, what kind of ministry are you most interested in? Please complete at least one sentence below, and then there are three options. I am passionate about, I have experience at, and really enjoy, or I don't have much experience, but I think I'd really like. Please fill those in, but specifically ministry areas, ways that we can serve people in the body or serve people outside. But we'd like to have an idea of what kind of discipleship opportunities, training and equipping opportunities that you would be looking for, when is convenient for you to meet, and also what kind of ministries that you might be interested in. Now, we understand that not everyone has the same time available. Not everyone has the same resources, time resources. You know, we'll talk about that Tuesday night. How can we make this real and accessible and practical for everyone in the church, because there are different, and we have different time constraints, different resource limitations at different points in our lives. We understand that. This is something that has to be real. For it to be real, it also has to be practical. We'll be talking a lot more about that Tuesday night, how we make that real. So please come and join us for that. But as we wrap it up this morning, how many ministers do we have in this body? As many as we have people. Yeah. We got the guy down back there with a number. Yeah. If you are part of Christ, you're part of part of Christ's body, you're a minister. You have a ministry. A minister is just a servant. A minister is just someone who serves the body. We are all called to a ministry. Those ministries are going to be very different, going to be unique in some ways, but we are all called to a ministry. We are all called to service. And that's going to look different at different parts, different points in our lives and with different people. Part of the job of the leaders in the church are to help the people in the church figure out, how can I make this work in my life right now? You know, and so we're sensitive to that, and we'll talk about that, and that's something we can explore. But, let me just say this too. This is not to try to get people to sign up for certain kind of ministry. It's not that, oh my goodness, we need to have people in this ministry, so let's talk about service and get somebody. That's not it at all. We'll talk about this Tuesday night, but the idea, one of the things we absolutely will not do is have a box that's empty and then try to find someone to plug into that box. No, the job that we're trying to do is to try to find how God has created you individually, uniquely, how God has gifted you individually, uniquely, and your personality too. What is the best ministry fit for you, and to plug you into that, not so that we can have people have all of our boxes filled in and have our organized org chart. We'll talk about this Tuesday night, have our org chart all filled out. No, that's not it at all. The idea is that so we can all truly function as a body of Christ and be fulfilled in being what God has created us to be. There's nothing more exciting, I think, as a Christian, than to find to discover what God has created me to do.
Amen.
And then to be freed and equipped and trained to do that. It's like, you know, you take a rail. I talk about this when we talk about freedom in the sense of a lot of people just want to be free from Christ. And I talk about a railroad engine. You know, if you take a railroad engine and if it wants to be free, so it just goes off and heads out in the field, it leaves the track and it heads off in the field, is it going to be free? Not very, at first it might feel really free, right? But after a while, it's going to be more bound than it can possibly imagine because it can't go anywhere. But if you take that same railroad engine and you restrict it, in a sense, to the rail lines, is it free now? Man, it can just glide, right? It can sail. It can do what it was created to do. It's the same thing for us as Christians. When we find out, when we discover what God has created me to do or you to do, what each one of us to do, and we're given the opportunity to do that, oh man, we just take off. We finally discovered this is what God always intended me to do in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And as a teacher and equipper and trainer and coach, there is very few things as fulfilling to me as to help someone connect with that and just see them take off and do things that I never even imagined that they could do. There is no one superstar who can do everything. Here's a good saying. Someone once said this. We don't have it all together, but together in Christ, we have it all. If we are functioning as the body of Christ, if we're doing our part, if we all as a body are faithful to serve in the way that God calls us to serve, the way that God has gifted us to serve, the way He gives us opportunity to serve, and if those of us in leadership are faithful to coach and equip and teach and train, then we can more and more become the body of Christ that He intends us to be. Amen? Let's commit ourselves to truly being the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are here because of You. Because of Your life in us. Because of Your love for us. And Lord, we don't just see that in how You minister directly to us. We see that in our brothers and our sisters. We see Your life and Your love and Your truth and Your wisdom. We see the power and the life of Your Spirit at work in each other, flowing through us, flowing through each other, to each other and to those outside the church. Lord, help us more and more to function as a body and to allow that life to flow through the whole body for us to minister and serve each other in love, for us to seek and discover what it means for me to be a part of the body and what part of the body am I and how do I function best as the part of the body that You have created me to be. Lord, give us an overwhelming curiosity to know how do You want me to function in the body. And then Lord, help those of us who are leaders to help and to go through this and walk through this with the people and with everyone and to help everyone to experiment and seek and discover what part of the body they are. Help us more and more to come together in the parts that You've created us to be, to function together in harmony, in cooperation, to work together as a community, as a body, as a family, to be who you called us to be as the church, to grow and build up each other in love, to be who you call us to be. Lord, we want to do what you call us to do. We want to do it for the right reasons, and we want to do it in the right ways. We want to follow your vision for the church. Help us to do that, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.